Wednesday night. We will have service here Wednesday night.
Friday, this coming Friday, we have the Penny Loafers will be in concert here at 7:30, but this Wednesday, we haven't had service in a couple weeks. Brother Mike White had talked to me one time, are you ready for this Wednesday? Or? Okay. He's been preparing ever since I said, are you ready for this Wednesday? Ever since then, he's been prepared on doing that. Come on out. And I love the title, When God Seems Distant. When God Seems Distant. That's a wonderful chapter. I read through that a couple of times, enjoying that. So looking forward to that. Coming out on Friday night, you're going to enjoy the Penny Loafers. Different. They'll have a lot of great music, great talented folks, and looking forward to a concert. We've got actually this Friday of a concert, the 14th, and then only 2 weeks later, we have the Dixie Echoes coming. And some folks are coming back up north for that. I know that Steve and Kathy were on the boat trip with us. Kathy's coming up for that concert. Looking forward to seeing everybody there. Any other announcements I may have missed? Whew. Good. Hate to come back and miss out on all those announcements. What a joy to be back in God's house. For, I think it was 7 or 8 days we were out on the water. It was an absolute treat. We saw some of the most beautiful places that you can ever imagine. I never thought in my life that I would ever have the opportunity to go and visit what is known as the number one sailing destination in the world, the British Virgin Islands. Flying into St. Thomas, going over to Tortola, getting on that boat and just waving goodbye. Kind of deciding every day what we're going to do and where we're going to go to the following day. And not having the opportunity to be around the water as much as I would like to have in my life, it is such a treat for me. Because if you know as you read your Bible, especially in that New Testament, so many times there are references to the water, to sailing, to... At that time in the world, the majority of the people lived near the water. Transportation, food. And Jesus, in his teachings, so many times he used illustrations and so many stories taught about Jesus, about the water and walking upon that water. Cast your net out upon the other side. Oh, what wonderful things that we can learn. This morning, I'm going to use the 27th chapter in the book of Acts. Now, I heard last week that my buddy Roger, he read to you like 44 verses. This chapter has 44 verses in it. And I'm going to encourage you to go home and read each and every one of them. But to keep you from putting you to sleep already, I'm not going to read them all to you. I'm going to give you a little homework to do. It's a wonderful, wonderful chapter to read. Remember that 26th verse, Paul has that wonderful conversation with King Agrippa over there. And what a wonderful day he talks about his faith in God and about his conversion on the road to Damascus. And then in the 27th chapter, it gives you a little history there. And in this chapter, it talks about sail 12 times. This is a wonderful story about Paul's sailing trip and how it ended up with them being shipwrecked. It talks about how God had spoken to Paul and told him that he would keep him safe and all of the men with him on this sailing trip. It talks about a wonderful centurion who, his name was Julius, who I believe just had a warm place in his heart for Paul and kept him safe. It talks about how Paul, starting out on this trip, he had no authority. No one there had any reason to listen to him. He basically started with no influence at all. And then it talks about how he, through his testimony, led these men with God's help to safety. I am going to read all the way over in the 40th verse, and I'm simply going to read one verse this morning. Excuse me. The 40th verse reads, "And they let go the anchors and left them in the sea. Meanwhile, loosing the rudder ropes, And they hoisted the mainsail to the wind and made for shore. And this morning, for just a few moments, I want you to think about they hoisted that mainsail and sailed into the wind to shore. They hoisted the mainsail and sailed. Heavenly Father, we ask now that you'll just simply open our minds and hearts, and for just the next few moments, God, just speak to us as individuals and allow your truth to just resonate in our hearts. We ask you to bless the word that has been read. We ask this in Jesus' precious name, and all God's people said amen. 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 I like sailing. I like sailing with Brother Scott. Brother Scott is extremely proficient. He has all that accreditation, all those little license. He can go sail anything. He can sail those big things on the water all the way to your little wind-up boat in your tub. He can sail it. And I feel very confident when I am sailing with them, mainly because I'm able to help out a little bit. I was called the first mate just because I just need a title. And all the way through the trip, he never made me feel as unknowledgeable about certain things as I was. And I like that about his captain. And we all were able to sail together and safely saw such wonderful things. And we had our few little bumps and bruises. Sailing is a wonderful thing. It's a little tough on the body, but it's great for the soul to be on that water. Scott described it as sailing with people on a boat, and we had 11 people on a boat for 7-8 days. It's sort of like being in jail with a chance to drown. So, now you know what being on people in a boat for a long period of time is. And I love this chapter, and I love where it talks about the sailing, talks about the experience. And I love this verse where it says, they hoisted the mainsail into the wind. To sail, you need many things, but I'm just going to mention three. First of all, you need a crew. At the end of our sailing trip, God got up and did a little award ceremony, and he told us the first letter in the pirate alphabet is R. And he thanked each one of us for helping out him on sailing this boat. To sail, you need a crew. To have church, you need people. I believe that this is a church that God has given us. This is a place that I always read. Dorothy, who wrote, your church is such a warm and loving haven for those of us who are lost and searching. I just like that. God, for some reason, has given us this family. And this family extends. And I love the relationship we have with surrounding churches, with folks that come in on concert nights, with whenever I go to any other church in this area, I am so impressed about how well I am treated and how I feel the love of God when I go into their houses. But trust me, friend, for me personally, it's nothing like when I come here and I feel the love that God has given us one for another. I know that those who've been through challenges and who've been through physical operations and different procedures going on, and how much it means for those that pray, send cards, notes, visit. God has given us a wonderful crew, and I thank you for that. To sail, you need direction. Every night on the little table we had a map, and we kind of marked where we were and where we hoped to plan to go. If you go anywhere, you got to have direction. And I thank God that I stand in front of you, open the greatest book of directions that has ever been given to mankind. The Word of God. On Wednesday night, we study. There's a great author, Rick Warren, and many times when we're reading the chapters that he wrote, and he writes them in such an easily understood manner. And it reveals to us certain truths that we find within God's Word, and it strike chords in our hearts. I believe that anyone who has heard the invitation to come to God, who sets in their heart the realization that they have sinned and come short of His glory, anyone who's asked God to come live within them, accepting Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, that they want to get into God's Word. The more I read it, the more it blesses me. So many times I'll read it, things that I've read time and time again, and all of a sudden that little spiritual light bulb will go off. Something I've read and read and read. Oh. And it takes on a brand new meaning. It takes on a new urgency for something that I may be dealing with in my own life at that point in time. I thank God for the wonderful crew. I thank Him for His wonderful direction. And to sail, you need wind. Now, I know the rest of you are going to say, well, you supply plenty of wind up there, Pastor. No, that's not what we're talking about. You have to get moving. To get moving on the water, the breezes have got to blow. In life, a lot of times the winds that blow our way, they're not really welcome. Challenges. But this is something very unique, and I like this verse because right now I'm going to hopefully, and I wore my little whiskers to help you today better understand sailing. I'm going to talk to you about how you move in the wind on the boat. I'm always amazed that, and Scott can correct me anytime he wants to jump up and do it. He did that on the boat. But it's amazing about how much faster you sail into the wind than down the wind. Doesn't make much sense to me. If I want to get from here to the back of the church and I'm going into the wind, I do not take a straight shot. I do something what's known as tacking. That means that I may decide to go here and then turn and go over there and turn back to this side and then turn back and forth to get to my destination into the wind. Anybody seasick yet? I've got some Dramamine for you. And I want to tell you a little bit about how you tack. As you are traveling along, you set that sail in just the proper way you want to, and you're moving along a little along the wind line. Then you pretty much decide to pick out a spot about 90 degrees out from where you're heading. And then a very unique thing happens on the boat. Either the captain or the first mate, the helmsman, yells out, and there's a call, goes, preparing to tack. Now what that does, that alerts everybody on the boat, we're going to be quickly changing course. And you got to change quickly so that you don't lose the wind. So here I'm traveling, prepare to tack, and then we take a 90 degree turn, and wind catches the other side of that sail, and off we go in another direction. Still hoping to get to our main destination. Many times on the boat, trust me, as much as we sail, as many times, a lot of faces when we say, prepare to tack! Here we go again. And they would hold on. Now, I believe that each and every one of us are on a destination. I believe that God has a purpose for each and every one of our lives. On this trip, it was a marvelous. It was amazing. Scott had friends from Washington State. And we got to learn so much about them as individuals and about the story of their lives. We heard about a man who had fallen 57 feet at work, who was there on the boat, who told us without a doubt that God had seen him through, spared his life because there was work to do. We heard the ladies from Washington State, and they are just an absolute joy. They are so pleasant. They laugh. They have the greatest time. But then also we heard the most serious time about one talking about the passing of her mother and how hard it was to deal with and the things that she is going through. And we went from laughter to tears just like that. Each person has a story to tell about how God is taking them on their journey to their destination of where God is going to use them. The problem is I get anxious. If I'm here and I want to go there, I want to go in a straight line. But so many times I find in life, God wants me to tack a little bit. Then I have to deal with something else and I have to all of a sudden change and come back to this side because something else may have happened in my life. And I need to tack again and move according to what he has for me. Prepare to tack. Prepare to tack. I believe, as was spoken in our prayer request today, Brother Gene said, you know, we need to pray for the world. And he mentioned one country, but oh, the many, 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 many countries we need to pray for. Because I believe that God is saying, prepare to tack. You have to be willing to change. You have to be willing to take that you deal with, the winds that come your way. Although you might not be going as straight as you'd like, you're still going to make that destination that God has in store for you. None of us drowned. We all came back a little darker. Some of us have a few more whiskers than others. I'm enjoying this today. Word has it my mother is coming to town tomorrow. So I don't know how long you'll see this. Somebody asked me, you still obey your mother? I said, no, I still fear my mother. There's a big difference. But I'm here to tell you, God has something special for each and every one of us. Although we don't quite understand the things that come in our life that make us have to tack and move a different direction, they're there because he loves us. In just a moment, I'm going to ask the deacons to come up, and just two of those deacons. I got to remember which two now. That's going to be the problem. I think it's Barbara and Jean are going to come serve communion today. We sang today, without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I'd surely fail. Without him, I would be drifting. Like a ship without a sail. We begin by thanking him for what he did for us. He died upon a cross for the shedding of his blood for my sins and your sins. That is the way to eternal life. And then the challenge begins. Then the things you have to deal with, the things you have to call upon him, the things that he will just amaze you if you'll simply dedicate your life to his will. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we've come to your house. We have read your word. God, I personally want to say how much I thank you, and I thank the people here at Mount Calvary. God, they've been such a blessing to me, and how warm it is to come back home. God, I want right now, I want to just lift up those individuals I got time to spend with this past week and the many challenges that they face in their lives. You just keep your hand of mercy upon them, and God, you simply bring healing, bring healing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this church. We thank you for each individual who comes in that are special to you. And now, God, it's our chance to say thank you to you. So as it says in your scripture, we're going to thank you for this wafer representing the body which is broken. And we thank you for this small cup of juice representing the blood that was shed. We thank you for what you did by sending your son to die for us. We do this in remembrance of you. We ask this in Jesus' precious name, and all God's people said amen.